Okay, so we were up to the Gemara. We finished the Mishnah Ayin Beis. So I just want to read. I asked you to look a little further, but we're just going to read the first part of the Gemara just to make one point explicit, and then we're going to skip to Ayin Beis Amud Beis. And Yehuda, can I ask you to read, please? Tana Rabbanan. Slow down. Meshavim mitovelas laila lezava shena tefila. So it's a very, very important point. They agree that tefila that takes place at night for a regular zava, this means, as Rashi comments, the next line will explain in the Braisa, but this means during, not after day 11, but any other day. I'll leave out 10 for the moment also, the Gemara hasn't discussed it, but certainly days 1 through 9, if she bleeds, and she goes to the mikveh the night that follows, it's not tevila. It's not just that she has to do it. As one could have envisioned the possibility that you can do the tevila at night, but you still have to wait till part of the day to do shimur mikseh siyum. So that's not so. In other words, you can't do tevila until you've done shimur. Or put differently, a nida and a yoledes is tevila, is dafka balayla, and a shomer siyom keneged yom and a zava gedola is dafka bayom. Right? Meaning, it doesn't mean a nida could go during the day in theory, it's just not on the day of the 7th, on the day of the 8th. It means not before. The nidas is not before the night of the period she becomes eligible in, and a zava is not before the day period in which she becomes eligible. But again, if a zava, our women, you know, in Bisman Hazeh, are all treated as zavos gedolos, but they go to the mikveh at night. They go to the mikveh at night after the 7th, right? After the full 7 days, as opposed to the night of the last day of Shavin Akir. So the Bray Shavin Tfilas Laila Zavashena Tfila, the Shavin. Right, within 11 days, Lo Nechleku Ela. I think it's Biyom Yeralef Yom. It's a strange way. I suspect, if you really want, I'll send you the Kisvei Yad, and I bet you one of them is missing. I think I actually have an edition my students worked on the last time. I don't know if it's complete or not. Go ahead. Okay, fine. That's all I want to read for the moment. Yes, Moshe?
What's the relationship between this Braisa and our Mishnah? Because it seems to be based on the Mishnah, but it seems to repeat a lot of the stuff that was already mentioned in the Mishnah.
So some of the braces that, if you were to analyze the Tosefta as a general, I can actually show you. I don't remember, have the whole scheme in my head, but when I worked on Adios, and I can send you this, I sort of outlined 7 or 8 or 9 different kinds of comments you find in the Tosefta in terms of their relationship to the Mishnah. Or non-relationship to the Mishnah. And so braises have a whole set of different functions. Sometimes, for example, there's a work called Tosefta Tikta, I think, by Shama Friedman, who's now, I think, at Bar-Ilan. He was at JTS a long time, in which he talks, and there's a whole debate in the scholar literature whether which came first, the Mishnah or the Tosefta. What I mean by that is, it's clear the Mishnah comes first, and the Tosefta, for the most part, is a commentary in many places on the Mishnah. But the question is, are there earlier versions of the Mishnayos sometimes preserved in Tosefta? Now, there are a lot of examples in Tosefta of braises that of Toseftas that are really the same. They're not commenting on the Mishnah. They're not expanding on the Mishnah. They're like repetitions of the Mishnah. And do they represent alternative? And they often represent alternative. Could they possibly be earlier forms of the Mishnah? Anyway, that's an issue that is discussed. But certainly you have whether or not, whichever comes first, and the answer is probably there are a few that do predate the Mishnah, or I should say preserve the Mishnah from an earlier state. So when you get a braisa like this, which may overlap a lot with the Mishnah, it may very well be an alternative version of the Mishnah. In this case, I think it's still clearly it's still somewhat expansive on the Mishnah, even if it repeats a little bit because it seems to be relying upon certain pieces of the Mishnah that you know that are there. Right now, the Shavin already starts out that you've seen a machlokas. At Shavin means then both modim. But so there are, but if you're interested in sort of seeing that, I can give you, I don't have it all at the top of my head. Judah?
When it says, could that mean that I want to emphasize that it's on the day of the 11th day as opposed to night?
No. I don't think there's any enough. And it's machlokes beisham beis hillel. Doesn't matter whether she bled on the night before the 11th, you know, the halachic night of the 11th, or on the day of the 11th. That day she's still a zava katana, but at night it's the ma'am machlokes beisham beis hillel. I don't think there's any difference. Doesn't matter whether it's during the day or night. Now, Yitzi? Bryson, I'm sorry. This is a Bryson. It's not indicated since Tosefta. Maybe it is.
Sorry, Bryson. Isn't it unnecessarily repetitious even like in and of itself?
Well, yes, because as Rashi explains that v'hachseif perush d'reishahu. In other words, the first version is very short, so it is a little bit odd. And the formulation is odd. Okay, fine. Now, did any of you learn the Gemara on Daf Ayin Beis and Beis Machlokas Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan? What's funny? What's something odd?
I mean,
did
Tosfos ask this question?
Where did Tosfos ask this question? I didn't go digging, but I didn't. Was it on? No, no, no. Which Tosfos do you mean? The one I asked you to look at? No. No, that has nothing to do with this.
It is
Brisa. No, that's in the flow of the sugi later. We'll talk about this. What's that?
You're saying if it does, you know.
How come the sugya doesn't jump all over Reish Lakish like an 800-pound gorilla? Is it Beferish Abraisa against Reish Lakish? Right? The Braisa says, Lo nechaku ela biyom yud aleph. And I don't, unless it's in the big Tosfos, which I did not go over at this moment.
What does this have to do with Reish Lakish?
According to Reish Lakish, the same achlokus that takes place on yud aleph should take place on yud. According to Reish Lakish, according to Beis Hillel, if a woman bleeds on day 10 of the Achar Asar Yom Shemei Nida L'Nida, according to Reish Lakish, Midoraisa, according to Beis Hillel, she could go to the mikveh at night and be Mishameshes in Baila.
This explains the Tosos on the Dal. That assumes that even according to Reish Lakish, it's Asar on the Dal.
I know, I'm thinking about that Tosfos for a second, which I just looked at. But he says Midrabanan, I thought, no?
Yeah.
No. I need to be deraisa because there's a carbon here. Reish Lakish says Asiri Labari Shimor, it means there's no carbon. It could be also Midrabanan, I agree. Right, just as Rav Yochanan says Yuralef Labai Shimor, Bezegargo might be also Midrabanan, and we have to talk about this. By the way, one of the things that we look at the Machlokes that we show with the Ravid versus the Rambam and the Baal Hamor is I want to talk about what is the nature of Gargaron. Is it a Shimor Derabanan? Is it something else? But for the moment, certainly Minat Torah, Reish Lakish would say that Leil, the Laila Shachar Asiri, Minat Torah, she can go to the mikveh and then Mutter and Tashmish. And it won't matter if she bleeds the next day.
On the 11th?
What's that?
Saying on the 10th she can go to the mikveh.
The night of the 11th.
And then in the 11th she got bia. Or the
12th. Or at night too. In other words, Reish Lakish would say that midoraisa, according to Beis Hillel, obviously, that asiri is kedachar asar, if she bleeds on day 10, she goes to the mikveh the night after, and she's fine. Just like it works in the Torah for Beis Hillel, on Yud Aleph. Beis Shammai says even Yud Aleph requires Shimur. So I'm just observing that this Braisa would appear to be a Feirisha Braisa against Reish Lakish, and yet the Gemara doesn't quote it in Amud Beis. Alex?
I wonder whether the Yom Yud Aleph Yom had an Asiri originally.
Then it would have been a Raya against Rabbi Yochanan.
Well, maybe the fact that it's not there either way is like the
ambiguity. It might be ambiguous in our text, but I presume that the and this is a presumption I'm about to maybe shoot down, I presume that they would have had the correct text one way or the other. Adin?
When a Brisa or a Gemara says lo nechlaku, that means literally on nothing else? Or could it be just reflexive of the two?
Within what it taught, listen, it says, lo nechlaku, haroa besoch yor alf yom. Lo nechlaku ela biyom yor alf. Right? So I assume if there's a close set of 11 days, and we're talking about where they argue, and they only argue on the 11th, but they don't argue besoch yod aleph, I assume that means 1 through 10. Yehuda?
Maybe this is the little nechlaku. Maybe Reish Lakish should say everyone would agree with him on the 10th.
Beis Shammai says Yochai Midaraisa on the 11th requires Shemur, but the 10th doesn't require Shemur. Come on. No, it can't. It cannot. It is inconceivable. Inconceivable. All right. You see? Yeah, so that might be the best traditional answer you can give. There is another answer that you can give, which Rishonim are not always averse to giving. There is another possibility, and what is that? The sugya, the Mesadrim on Ayin Beis and Beis, didn't have this brisa. It is not unknown. Amoraim sometimes didn't have brises. When they ask Akasha against the Namora and the Gemara from a Mishnah, the final answer is, if he doesn't know it, it's Tufta. Amoraim had to know all the Mishnayos. There's no excuse there. But the Gemara will sometimes say, Braisa l'shmi'alei. It will, for the Amoraim. And there are Rishonim point this out throughout Shas in many, many places, that sometimes one sugya doesn't happen to have a Braisa. Can't say that about the Mishnah. If the sugya doesn't have the Mishnah, you know what it means?
The Mishnah is sometime
that day? It means it wasn't in the Mishnah at that time. That's one of the only way you can generally prove something, a Mishnah, that happens to appear in all the manuscripts, wasn't in front of the Amoraim, is the failure of a sugya to cite it when it is relevant. The only way to get around that is if you can explain why the Mishnah is not relevant. But if it's, the Mishnah is very clearly relevant, then that is proof that the sugya didn't have it, which is probably proof in the case of a Mishnah that it wasn't in the Mishnah at the time. I can show you examples of that, not for now. But anyway, I see a lot of questions here. This is not what I normally do at the halacha, but when I read Gemara, this is sometimes the way I think. Alex?
Even later, when they're debating halacha acharasar.
Yeah.
The language there is acharasar, but somehow Reish Lakish finds room to accommodate within there a din about the tenth.
No. But you have to understand how. You have to read the Gemara. How does Reish Lakish understand hilchos acharasar? What does it mean, hilchos, as opposed to halacha?
That there's different days, different halachos between.
No, it's two halachos that only relate to Yud Aleph. What are the two halachos that relate to Yud Aleph? That lo boy shimur, and it isn't shimur for Asiri either. But it's all focused on Yud Aleph. Both dinim are about Yud Aleph.
Meaning I read that into that Gemara also, but maybe...
No, that's what, I mean, that's what Rashi says, and he says it for good reason. So again, I'm not, Yitzi gave a teretz, that's what you're trying to push. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it really is strained in the language. That's all I'm saying. I can't prove it, I'm not here to convince you. I'm just pointing out that is a possibility that the Rishonim will occasionally raise.
In this particular case, when you're claiming the sugya may not have had that brayta, do you mean Reish Lakish himself, or do you mean whoever redacted this?
Well, if the reason of the brayta is kipshuta the way it is, Reish Lakish for sure didn't have it, but not only did Reish Lakish not have it, but the Masadriya sugya didn't have it either, otherwise they would have quoted it as Akash against Reish Lakish. That Amoraim don't know a Brisa is less surprising than the Misadre Hashas don't know the Brisa. Especially because some other Misadrim did know the Brisa, but it happens, right?
You're going to say whoever was Misadre the Sukya on Amud Aleph is different than whoever was Misadre on Amud Aleph.
I can show you cases. Look in Arve Psachim. I'm sure there are numerous cases, but look in Arve Psachim. There's a machlokas, the Ravid and the Balamor about this particular issue about in the sugya of Shinu Makom Tzarech Lavarech, where there's a brisa that's quoted earlier in the sugya, and the Balamor says later, he says that they didn't have the other brisa.
Really? I'm just like, wow.
I just made it up. It's in 101 historical lies. Okay?
Fine. Was that case 100 off?
What? It's within a blot. Yeah. It's within the same global sugya. The Ravid wasn't so happy about it, but it's been years since I looked at it, so I don't remember why. But, yes, Yudi.
According to Reish Lakish, it's like the whole point of like a Zava Ketana is like Gezerah for Zava.
But let's wait till we get to Reish Lakish. We'll get there. I'm finished with this. We're about to start it, but I just want to point out, I don't care what your answer is, you should be bothered by the question. It's the kind of question you can't sort of be bothered by unless you know the Gemara. I don't claim to know the Gemara really well, but now I'm reading it for the fourth or fifth time. So when you go back and you read it in carefully, you stop and think, one second, but what does Reish Lakish do with this? Moshe?
Yeah, maybe the Ella is not to exclude all the other days. It's rather to exclude these two other reasons why they could be arguing in those cases.
I understand.
They're arguing in a case that involves Tefillah Be'erev, and it involves the 11th day. So the question is, what is the point of the machlokes? And it's Ella b'yom, lo nechlaku Ella b'yom yud aleph. They're only arguing about the Yudalev aspect of the case, not about the Tefillah B'Erev aspect.
Well, I agree they're not arguing about the Tefillah B'Erev aspect, but I want to know, they're arguing about whether or not Yud Aleph requires Shmiras Yom the next day. I agree that they're not arguing about whether Tefillah B'Laila on a day that when you require Shemir, whether that works or not. They all agree that's the Brisa said, that they agree that that's not Tefillah. But the point is that they're arguing only about Yom Yud Aleph, whether it requires Shemir the next day. But Toch Yud Aleph, which would include, I think, Yitzi days 1 through 10, right? You know, does Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan sound like they're arguing about a Svara? And does Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan make sense if you look at the Mishnah alone? It doesn't talk about Haroah Toch Yud. It doesn't talk about the din of Roah. Well, does even, is it a Raya? Is the Mishnah also the same Kasha? What's it? Modem B'Roah.
And why didn't Beit Hillel use the more extreme case if it's like Reish Lakish?
To teach you the Koach of Beis Shammai. I know you're going to tell me Koach di Sura Adif. It's a Kasha you're going to ask. It's still okay. That itself is not a Kasha. I don't think the Mishnah provides quite the same contrast of Yud Aleph requires Shemar versus Toch Yud Aleph. I'm not so sure that you could make the same deal from the Mishnah. From the Brice, it stands out. Okay. You can disagree. I don't want to continue beating this to death. It sort of jumps out at me. If you think that the Brisa can easily read that way, then you don't have the Kasha. If you do have the Kasha, you either have to adopt, from my vantage point, you have to either adopt a slightly dachuk reading, or you have to assume that the sugulator doesn't have, you know, this particular, Brisa. Okay. Nagar?
Okay. I find it a little hard, though, like someone must have stuck together these two different sugyas. They must have tried to harmonize it, no? Wouldn't they normally?
No, the answer to that question is no, not always. No.
But why? I don't know.
I wasn't there in the yeshivas in Bava when they ended the shas. But just as there were different people working on different mesechtas, and in fact, not different people, but it's usually assumed that like five mesechtas that were worked on somewhere else in Bavel, probably in the Darim and Nazir in that bunch. In the Darim, the Rishonim already know Lashos Mishun. Even Nazir is somewhat different. And then some of the Kachim, a few of the Kachim mesechtas. So by the same token, it's not inconceivable that different, you know, it happens. Listen, if according to the Bavli, just for, look at it this way. You know, the teretz of a Gemara will sometimes give Tavra Mishashana Zo Lo Shana Zo. You have certain Mishnayos where the Gemara, the Amoraim will say, where the Gemara will say that the two halves of the Mishnah are two different opinions. Someone stuck them together and didn't bother to make a notation of that. If it's true there, I think it's certainly, in other words, they are certainly reflecting in the way they would have edited things. So it's possible. Okay. Last question on this, and then we're going. Yes, Jeremy.
So, perhaps, says Benegar, perhaps, when it says Toch Yudav Yom, it could also potentially mean the days which we're treating as day 11, which, as we went on to explain, include day 10.
Okay, so that's what Yitzi was saying. I understand. That's if, you only have to be bothered by his question if I'm right. Right? If I'm wrong, so then, you know, like Yitzi suggested, then of course, we know it's not a kasha. Okay, so keep your eyes open is simply my point. All right, so now let's go down with Beis Itmar, whoever's reading for me. Who was reading? Keep reading, wherever you are. Now, in what context, and I think this is an important point, this is being a comment which is being uttered in relationship to what? It's not clear from their language, but the way the Gemara presents it, it certainly sounds that way. What were they learning in the Beis Medrash when Reish Lakish and Reish Yochanan had this machlokas? They were learning Shita. They were learning this Mishnah. They were learning this Mishnah. Right? From where we've gone, it's sometimes easy to lose sight of that. Learning this Mishnah because it's Ika Demastinla. Some said they actually weren't learning this Mishnah. They were learning something else. Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan said Asir is like Chi. Reish Lakish says Asir is like Acharasa. Ika Demastinla. So why are you laughing so hard, Gil?
He's like, even if you go on with your silly drush out all day, the shemen.
Now, isn't this amazing? Yeah. They're not even fighting about the halacha. They're just fighting about the derivation. Okay. Imagine they were fighting about the halacha. But he says, you can darshan your... The halacha is that you need a chatzi log shemen latoda for some of the chalos. So, some of the breads. So the question is, how do you know that? So Reb Lazar ben Azariah claims halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, but Rabbi Akiva, who is the one who could be darish tili tilin shel halachos on each of the kotzim, Rabbi Akiva learned it from a pasuk. Rabbi Akiva was a mayan hamisgaber as a darshan. I don't mean a darshan the way they darshan today, darshans today, but I mean a darshan of halacha. Yes.
How do we know they're not arguing halacha here? Rabbi Lazar says,
because look at the sugya in Menachos, and you'll see.
I read the one before. Did we sound like
I think it's clear that everybody, Rabbi Akiva holds that it's chatzi log shem elotoda. He learns it b'shem and b'shem and to be memayed from a log shalem.
That's with regards to the first two of the Menachos.
Right.
But not the other ones. But maybe Rabbi Lazar is saying that they...
Well, you can. I'll just tell you, Yom Tzasim and Mamafurosh, which is the other two things, is also Namachlokas between them and Din. It's Machlokas and Source. You can learn your Bashem and Bashemen all day to teach us Chatzi Log Shemen, but I know that it's Chatzi Log Shemen Latoda because Halach L'Moshe Mitzrayim.
Yeah, but maybe what I'm saying is with regards to all of the Menachah, it's Chatzi Log Shemen, not just the two that you mentioned, but he's arguing in Halach that it's all of them.
What about a Chatzar Yom Shemen
Nidah Levina? No, the other two Kalib, Revius Logianus is also...
So then they would
okay, fine, it's not our Sugya, so I'm not going to get into it, but fine. You'd see?
There's an unfair secondary source proof that it has to be that they agree on the din. The Rambam says that it can't be any discussion of Halacha Moshe Sinai unless they all agree about the din.
Donnie, where are you?
Totally unfair secondary source proof.
Indeed. So the only problem you have, as Donnie pointed out, well, is then in the Ikon the Masne, in this Lashon, Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan are arguing about the Halacha Moshe Sinai, at least if Rav Elazar ben Azariah is correct. And so I'm just going to say the following. The Rambam's comment has to be taken as a little bit of a guzma. The Rambam was responding against the Gaonic thesis that all machlokas found in the Mishnah is a product of forgetting. And the Rambam said, chas v'shalom, to be matil dofi in the Mesorah, but rather, perushim ha-mekubalim halacha shem Sinai, you never find the machlokas. And if you find the machlokas, it means it's a new din that was being derived through Sarah, through Yom Midah Shatar and Drash Ben. So I think you have to, the Chavis Yar, I think, collects a whole, like, 36 cases where, again, kashas against the Rambam. I think you have to understand that the Rambam's principle has to be a little bit, you know, it's a little bit overstated, and I think the Rambam probably knew that quite well. But you have to understand the reason why he overstates it is for polemical purposes. And the Rambam didn't think that rabbinic statements being made for polemical purposes were out of bounds, because that's how he explains how Sadia Gaon could claim that the Iker Kiddush HaChodesh is Api Cheshbon. He says, yeah, Mistama was only because he was arguing with the Karai. Okay? So, yeah, I think you have to take the Rambam here in context. Okay. So now the Gemara continues. Say it again, Reish Lakish Amar? Yeah. Right, in other words, halacha or halachas? So Rav Yochanan Amar. Now, Judah, were you the one who was commenting? No, Judah, not you. Alex. You were the one who was commenting about Rashi's read here? I think that's clearly what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that lo acharasar boi shimur, and it doesn't say velo lasiri boi shimur. It says velo shimur laasiri, and it is not shimur for asiri either. And so the Gemara presents it as two halachos about the 11th day, one of them which has an afkamina for the 10th day also. Right? So I don't think that at least in this presentation, in the halachos, it focuses on anything but on Yud Aleph. Right? And the way they get to Hilchos Acharasar is not by saying, oh, Acharasar, one halacha for 11, one halacha for 10, but two halachos for 10. And through the back door, you learn something about, for 11, and through the back door, you learn something about 10. Adin?
If that was all that meant, could there be a Havamina that you might need to do the Shimur after Yimei Nidar finished?
How far did you get in the Makaros?
Up to Maran.
Okay, so that's part of the machlokas, the Ravid and the Rambam and the Ravid and the Baal HaMor, about whether or not Shimur could be required beyond day 12. In other words, we saw on Nun Daled that if she bled 17 and 18, that she should require Shimur Yom Echad on the 19th. The question is, what if she bled on the 19th, became a nida? Would you require shimur at some point later, let's say either a clean day being a nidasa, or if she bled for 7 days, would she be mitaris on the 8th day, or would you say you need shimur still for the day 17 that came before? So I don't remember if it's 17 or 18 or both, but you'll see there's a whole machlokas between the Rambam and the Raivin, and then the Raivin and the Balamor.
According to either of the Svaros advanced by Toso on the bottom, neither of those would seem to fit.
Which Tosos? The bottom of this Amar?
Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Like, neither of those Svaros of Shimur would seem to suggest that you'd be able to do that.
I don't understand how... This Tosos is really... I don't understand how you see this Tosos as relevant at all. I understand this Tosos.
And maybe there are other Svaros of what the
What is the point of Tosfos here?
No, I understand that's not the point.
I don't even see. All right, so when we do Tosos, come back. If you remember, come back and point out why you think something emerges from this that's relevant. All I see Tosos is understanding the flow of the Gemara, what the Gemara, what is learned from Halacha / Pesukim, and then where Reish Lakish and Yochanan come from. That's all.
He advances ideas of Svaros of Shimur.
Yeah, okay.
And it seems that neither of those would work with the idea that you can do Shimur after the whole Yenida cycle. So Reish Lakish can't become a Zavad Yod Aleph because it's not Rasufin. And for Yochanan, it's not Betof Lo Yod Aleph. There could be other Svaros
of Shimur. One second. No, nobody's going to... Tosis is talking about bleeding on day 18, I think. One second, hold on. Oh, no. Now, the whole discussion that it's going to take place is going to be on if a woman bled day 17 and 18 for Rabbi Yochanan, would she require Shimur at some point later? So it's clear, so Tosfos would probably,
I think it would work for Rabbi Yochanan Svara, because Rabbi Yochanan says you can't have Shmira during Yimei Nidos, but it could be during the next Yimei.
Well, no, I don't think so, actually. Let's wait until we get... I thank you, Poindal. I wasn't thinking about the line in Tosfos in our context. We'll come back to it, okay? Probably after we look at the other Rishonim. So just put that line on the back, on the not-so-back burner, but slightly, not quite on the front burner yet. Yossi?
Are Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish disagreeing about what verb is the
Raisa? What?
About the word halak. They pin their position on whether it's halakha or halakha. Are they disagreeing about
what the nusach is? Yeah. Well, that's the point. They are disagreeing about something. Yes. That was.
I mean, one had one. And saying, is it halacha versus halacha?
Yeah.
I felt their version of this place. I'm just saying, my halacha.
You mean, are they? I don't think so. They're arguing about the nusach of Brisa.
So then, where are they getting their authority from? Like, is that halacha?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Yuri?
According to Reish Lakish, the whole point of Zava Ketana is kind of like a Gezera for Zava Gedola.
Called Gezera Daraisa.
If you can't become a Zava Gedola,
then there's no Tziruf, right? There's the Tziruf between days of Ziva is only because of the potential to become a Zava Gedola.
I just don't understand what he does with the Pasuk in the Torah. The two Zava in the Torah, the one that's Shmir Yom Keneged Yom, that's the first Zava.
Well, again, he understands Shmir Yom Keneged Yom.
As if Gezeira
Del right against... I just use it. Yeah, sort of. In other words, Ziva, because the potential for... you should ask the following question. According to Reish Lakish, supposing a woman bled day one, went to the mikveh the next day, had Tashmish, bled again, but never bled a third day, why should you say that she's Chayeves?
Right.
So that's why it's not like Gezeira Del Raisa, but he would say that Ziva only connects when it has the potential to become Zava Gedola.
But if there's no potential,
then... then each day is regarded as a separate bleeding, and it's not a problem.
Well, I was
Tetra does love bringing up examples of Xeris deraisa.
It's not, wouldn't be exactly a Xeris deraisa. Yeah, I know. We have, you know, the Avastar Nassan has, I think, Lasikrahu, if I'm not mistaken. Some would suggest a Bayra. Bayimatze is like that for Achilas Chometz. But anyway, it's not exactly Xeris deraisa. But in other words, when you're in the framework where you become a Kabbalah of Gedola, the days are joined, potentially. When you're not in the possibility of Kabbalah of Gedola, each day is regarded as separate.
And why would Rabbi Yochanan say that 11 would be different than 10?
Because he would say that 11 cannot be mitzurif to the day afterwards, because that's nidus already.
Okay.
10 and 11
yeah.
could be combined. For example, let me give the simple example. What if a woman believes day 17, 18, and 1? Is she a Zava Gedola?
No.
No. But if she bled day 16, 17, and 18, she's Zavik Dola. 17, 18 can combine in theory. Okay?
Again, why is Zavik Dola not like, why couldn't it be a zero to Raisa?
Well, it's not, because what would happen if, again, I don't know what it means to have a zero to Raisa. What would happen if she bled day 1 and then day 2, but didn't bleed day 3? So it didn't. It turns out it never came to day Zavik Dola. So you stay there still chayiv karbon or kareis for having had bia in between, when it turns out in the end the 2 days were never mitzur. This is not bechlal the gezeira, I think. This is something, I think this is...
Not chayiv karbon.
They are chayiv karbon.
Is that with katana?
Absolutely, positively,
oh, yeah,
completely,
yeah,
yes.
Fine.
So that's what it's... again, you could say, once it's gezeira, the reis, you have all the...
Right.
Odd. Right, in other words, if I take the other examples, by the way, of gezeiras deraisa, of those who would posit the deraisa... So, Bayura Bayimatze is a lav. Achilas Chametz is kares. But Lo Sikravu for the Ramam is a lav. Isser Erva Mamish is kares.
Yeah,
but here you'd be saying...
What about grape peels and things like that? Grapes for nothing?
Oh, that's the one he went... That's the example he gave.
That's one example that he gives. One of the... Like the Warsaw puzzle that he keeps referring to. I forgot what his name is. But he likes to bring up this... Someone that no one's really ever heard of that lives in Warsaw and wrote something. He was a banker and he has all these books. Roshan brings up a lot, and I started a lot of
Is that a pitch to go to Cy Sims or something like that and write smart?
So there's a whole, and like there's a list. I forgot what the list is, but one of those is.
So that one doesn't. That one doesn't fit. But you know, there's still, you know, there you might just say that there's no. You could have gotten more severe punishment, but the Torah's not mechayev bechlal. Right, but here you'd expect to be. I'm saying to be chayev karis on exera seems a little harsh. Anyway.
But again, even for Lotikru, you still have
korban.
Are you still...
No.
You don't have korban, you're bringing korban.
No. Okay. No. No. You only bring a korban chatas chelev on the 36 averos, which involve kares if done b'mezid, done b'shogeg, because they have a maisa, you bring a korban chatas. Losikravu, there's no kares. Even if the Rambam is correct, there's the raisa, there's no kares. Okay. Fine. So now, the Gemara continues with Akasha. Now there are two Gersos here. And if you look, they point out that for Rashi, you have to change the Gemara at the end. If you read the Rambam, if I read it carefully, which I think I did, the Rambam reads the Pasuk the way I suggested it at the beginning of the first day of Shir, or whenever we got to that Pasuk, which is, V'yishah ki yazov zov dama yamim rabim, below es nidasa, ochi sazov al nidasa. Ochi sazov al nidasa is samoch le nidasa. Below es nidasa is muflug min nidasa. So here the gear says, below es nidasa is samoch le nidasa. But you can see the other girsa floating around in the Gemara. If you don't have the... all right, go ahead. Okay. Oh, chisasof. Okay, so now, here is my... So here is the question. Firstly, what is this scenario? The first scenario that the Brisa says, don't assume if a woman bleeds 3 days in her initially... Don't assume that makes her hazava. That's not the difference. And what would the parsha of Nida be if a woman who bled day 1, 2, and 3 were hazava? What would the parsha of Nida be dealing with the case of?
Well,
They wanted day two. Now, incidentally, just the language of the Braisa very strongly suggests that Sadia Gaon's is wrong. Because the assumption is that you need Ritzufim. Now, you could answer it, but it would be Dachal. Anyway, so the Gemara says, no, it has to be below Es Nidasa, or Al Nidasa, whatever the Gersa is, Samach L'Nidasa. Her Nida is 7 days, and this bleeding is after her Nida, but adjacent to her Nida. So in that case, how does this woman become a Zava? Which days does she bleed? 8, 9, and 10. That's how she becomes a Zava. Now, the Gemara says, how do you know maybe only Samach L'Nidasa? What about Muflag L'Nidasa Yom Echad, which would be days? 9, 10, 11. Now, why does the Gemara limit it to 9, 10, 11? Why doesn't it go further?
First, it needs to get the lima for 9, 10, 11 in order to get you to...
Right, so the answer is tafasta murbala tafasta. Right? You only move the minimal increment. Right? We don't know yet the 11 days may need Lanita as the margin, as the barrier, and therefore, we're trying to figure out how long after can she bleed to still be in the category of Zava. So if we have... if we have Samach L'Nidasa, that's obvious. That's Samach L'Nidasa, 8, 9, and 10. If you have a Reboy, that would give you at least a one-day gap. Maybe it's more than a one-day gap, but Tafasta Merubah, lo Tafasta. Yitzi?
Speaking of Tafasta Merubah, lo Tafasta, shouldn't the first thing you learn from the Pasuk below 8 Nidasa is that it's actually just telling you what it seems to be saying, that Zava can only be not in Yemei Nida?
Yes, but what does that mean? In other words, at some point we know she's going to come back to being a Nida. So if it's going to be some time, what is called not her Nida, below Es Nidasa, the minimal approach is going to be 8, 9, and 10. It's possible that 12, 13, and 14, or 23, 24, 25 are not, also are called below Es Nidasa, but if all you start with is the minute, if you're looking for the minimum amount that you can assume and be certain that you're correct, Tafasta, Muat Tafasta, then you pick 8, 9, and 10. When you have an additional reboot, you bump one more. It's not that it couldn't be more, but it's at least that.
But I'm not saying it couldn't be more. I'm just saying that when I hear the statement, not during time period A, and I don't know any more information about time periods B through Z.
Agree, but I know minimally that B is included, is what we're talking about. I don't know if Z is, but...
Not more so than any other time period. It's not
No. Yes, I do, because B is Bechlal Z, but Z is not Bechlal B.
Nida
is 7 days. Below Es Nidasa, since a woman cycles, below Es Nidasa is some period after that 7 days. The later you go after the 7 days, the more likely we are to say Nida starts again.
Okay.
Thus, if you know that there's some period which is called Lo Es Nidasa, you know at least that 8, 9, and 10 isn't that. Maybe 23, 24, and 25 are, maybe they're not, but Tafasta Murbala Tafasta. So as a matter of drasha, as a matter of hermeneutical principles, you can't assume that. So we start with the assumption, okay, at least 8, 9, and 10 is shalo, below Es Nidasa. Now we have a Ribui Ochis Azov. Now we can assume at least 9, 10, 11, because it's got to be a little later than that. Could Ochis Azov be teaching more than that? In principle, yes, but you don't know where to draw the line, so you draw the line as minimally as you can. Okay?
I don't know, I'm not 100%. Like, that assumes that we have to be separating them into daily increments, and therefore the ones that are closer to the end of the last one are more likely.
The way they darshan, Ishachi Yazuzo Dama Yamim Rabim, Yamim Mishnaim, Enyam Vachim Mishnaim, Rabim Mishalosh. She bleeds 3 days, let's say Ritzufim, she is now a Zava. When does she bleed? Below Es Nidasa. What is called below Es Nidasa? The answer is sometime between the end of this Nida period and whenever it is we say that the next Nida period begins. So I think that the Tfisa Samuat is always the first days. The earliest days is as early as Pasa.
Yeah. But I think the key is that we don't know at this point that 11 days is the...
Well, we don't know the terminal point yet. That's what the Bryce is getting to. It could be at this point that there's only 3 days that's called Lo Es Nidasa, or 6, or 12, or 27. We have no idea. We know that at some point she reverts to starting Nida again, because we're assuming that's the way the biology works.
Right, but it only works if we're already thinking in days, not just time periods of Yes Nida, not Nida.
Yambim.
Right, yeah, I understand that as an answer, right. I think that is... Yeah, I can accept that. I'm just saying that it wouldn't make sense if we just had time... If we just had binary periods of yes, Nida, not Nida, then I wouldn't think that necessarily the earlier days are. But if we're already thinking in days, which I think I find compelling after all this discussion, then I can understand why I would go for earlier days, which are closer rather than later days.
Okay. I'm not sure I understood that, but if you're satisfied and I'm satisfied, we can go on. Okay, fine. Now, Ein li ela yom echad, that's only if it's a muflag one day. Go ahead, Yudah.
No, I was just 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7, 8, 9, 10, 9. אמרת מה מתאים ברביעי שראוי לספירה וראוי לזיפה.
Now, just one point here Tosfos makes about the Shnayim. Shnayim is actually Muflag one day. It's just the nomenclature of the Brice is odd. So they say that days, basically days 9 through 17 are what's included here. How do they know that? How do you know that days 9 through 17 are included? So Amris Mamatzinu, Amris, go ahead, they explain.
Amris Mamatzinu, Bervi, Sharui, the Spear, Avari, Lazira. Avadiavi, Asiri, Sharui, the Spear, Avari,
Lazira. Alright, in other words, Ravi, we know, is Rai in the Sphira. In what case? If she bled days 8, 9, and 10, so day 11 is Rai, the Sphira. It also is Rai, Lazira. How do you know that? Ochi, Sazul, Anidasa, the Reboy. Even Muflag Yom Echad, so when she bleeds 9, 10, and 11, that's Ziva. So if day 11 is Rai L'Sfira and is also Rai L'Ziva, then days 12 through 17 are, if they're Ruyim L'Sfira, and how do you know they're Ruyim L'Sfira? Because if you bled 9, 10, and 11, then 12 through 18. 18? I'm trying to think, 12...
It's easier if you use 1 through 11 instead of 8 through 18.
Okay. So if days... so again, if day 4, which is Roy L'Sfira, now only in the Achar Asar Yom, which are not Achar Asar yet, but I know, but allow me that. If day 4 is Roy L'Sfira and it's Roy L'Ziva, then so too the other days which we know are Roy L'Sfira, which right now they're thinking about only 12 through 17... which are Roy L'Sfira, five through ten, are Roy L'Sfira, they're also Ruyim L'Ziva. How do you know that 5 to 10 are Ruyim L'Sfira right now? Because of 1, 2, and 3. Okay, now, we'll take the next step in a moment. Uminayin L'Rabos Acharasar, so they don't explain the Rebu yet. They'll explain why in a moment. But below Esnidasa includes something more. So why not further? Why not Shnei Masar? Right, that's a great answer. Amr's love. No. Okay, just say no. Right, it's like a parent. Why? The answer is because. Mati?
So we've already used below Esnidasa for some of the Nidasa. Now they're using it from a flood.
So you mean what if that was the words used originally? Yeah. So you're gonna have to change. You know, it's not clear. How below esnidasa according to Rashi's girsa seems means samach l'nidasa earlier, and now it means something that's very muflag b'nidasa. I don't know. So if you have the other girsa al nidasa, it would work much better actually. It would work much better.
Why can't it just be that the Gemara has moved on past that assumption? Meaning, at first we assume
it hasn't rejected that assumption. But low esnidasa the way... What?
It's just expanded it because it thinks that's logical that once...
It expanded it based upon other psukim. But you can't, if you need a pasuk now, you can't use it to teach us this din. So go ahead, Yehuda. So why Ra'isa? Why you marba one and not the other? L'sfiras ochis azuv. Now what does sfiras ochis azuv mean?
Bleeding 2, 3, 4.
The bleeding of 2, 3, 4. So in that case, day 11 is right for the sphere, 5 through 11. So if that's the case, but as opposed to day 12, umotzi ani yubei she'ein. Right, you have to, sphiras ochis azov has got to be put in quotes. It's an expression. Sphiras ochis azov means the shivanakiyam when she bled days 2, 3, and 4. Days 1, 2, and 3 were al nidasa. Days 2, 3, and 4, 1, that's 1, 2, 3. Days 2, 3, and 4 is Ochis Azov, the Reboy. So the Sfira for Ochis Azov is days 5 through 11. So that's why 11 is counted, even though it's not Roy for the Sfira of Al Nidasa, for 1, 2, and 3, it is Roy for the Sfira of Ochis Azov. And therefore, day 11 is also included, and not day 12, and hence, from this we learn the concept of...
Why
acharasayom shemeni l'nida, because a day that occurs within these 11 are ru'uyim l'ziva, but after day 11 are not ru'uyim l'ziva. Now, keep in mind just one point. Does this work according to Beis Hillel? Is Yom Acharasar Roy for Ziba according to Beis Hillel?
No.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. What?
No. You are a Zava Katana
that day. That's my point.
It's also right.
You're right, Yeshua, but you're even a Zava Katana that day. Beis Hillel doesn't argue and say that you could go to the, that you could go to the mikvah later on day 11 and be Shemesh Shabbailah. For sure not. That day, you're a Zava Katana. Less man de polo. So the 11th is Roy Leziva, even Mepnei Atzmo, not just Betziruf. But you're correct also, Shul. It would be relevant for that then as well. That if you bet 10, 11, and 12, 12 doesn't, it doesn't add on to Baker Zava Gedola. 9, 10, 11, it does. Alex?
Once we have this far up, so then why do we need the major Talmud Lomar below Es Nidasa?
No, below Es Nidasa, whatever, you mean that, whatever the drasha was, is telling you even beyond the days of the original 3 and 7. We also have below, we have some other riba below Es Nidasa. The question is, how much should we be marba? So you could have just said to me, by the way, tafasta merubo tafasta as well, but the Gemara here has a better svara as to why. On top of the fact that you would take the minimalist approach, on top of that, it happens to be that day 11 already has a role in something we've established, which is at least it's a yom sfira for that the Torah has established for the ochis hasof.
You couldn't have known to expand the days without that pasuk.
You could have. You could, in other words, al pi svara tafasta merubo lo tafasta tafasta muat. No, without that pasuk, you wouldn't have expanded it. You might have said that 11th day is roi l'sfira, but maybe it's not roi l'ziva.
Right. The logic is...
Oh, I see, because what they said earlier to get days 5 through 10.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good kasha. Yitzi?
I think I didn't understand what you were saying at first, and that was my question.
That was your question? Well, then I don't have an answer to the question. That's a good question. In other words, once you're going to flip that around, does Rashi Merames anything here?
The way he's analyzing this is, I didn't fully understand.
He says, after the Muflagliyamim Harbei, in other words, once we're Marbe things, then you're asking, when they said Mamatzin and Bravi Shiroi the Svira, the Roy Leziva, Afani Avi Hasiri Shiroi the Svira Roy Leziva, so that also should have included Acharasar, because of the, since it's Roy Lesfiras Ochisazov, right, which is the Gemara's answer, except for the Gemara quoted a Pasuk. You're wondering why they need a Pasuk. So that's a good kasha. That was a very good question. You know, the Gemara works out properly, but you didn't need a pasuk for it. Okay. Yitzi?
So what I thought he was asking was that if...
just ask your question.
Okay. We see that days afterwards, at least according to Rashi and the Ramban, and I think also the Rambam, days afterwards can also be Rav Lesfira, meaning that you have to wait Shimon Akiv. If she continues to have her Yidot, then they can continue...
Correct.
That.
Well,
so then why not indeed include the 12th day or any other day?
No, the answer is because the psukim only established for you 11 days that are, in other words, on their own, all you got from the psukim was days 1, 2, 3, 2, 3, 4, plus sphira after 2, 3, 4. And therefore, you can't, there's no reason to move beyond that. Well, because the Hekesh, because the Torah says that she keeps Safar La Sheva Simim, both in a case of Al Nidasa and Ochi Sazuf Al Nidasa. The Torah said you count seven. But it never said, there's no pasuk that talks about her bleeding in days 5 through 11. It's just a Bameh Motzinu. And Yitzi, the logic that you're taking is going to lead, is the reductio ad absurdum of what you're suggesting is that she'll be that forever after the first 7 days of Nida, everything else will be called below Es Nidasa. You heard already so where I was going with that. Right? That's the reductio ad absurdum. She'll never get it because I can just keep building on it.
I know, indeed.
So what I'm telling you is that you only build on top of the things that the pasuk teaches you. Are ruim either l'ziva or l'sfira? You only build on the things that the Torah tells you are ruim l'ziva, to become a zavain, which is 1, 2, 3 or 2, 3, 4.
It's not, but the Torah doesn't say that that's what's ruim to become a ziva. It just says she has to wait shem nikim.
And we make a Bameh Matzinu that anything in that period is called below Esnida Saba, not beyond that.
I just think it's a little weak. Once we're using a Bameh Matzinu, that day is also Roi Sphere.
No, you can't build a Bameh Matzinu on top of Bameh Matzinu.
I'm not. It's just the same thing.
Bameh Matzinu for day four, just as day four is Roi Sphere and Ziva, in effect, so through days 5 through 11. That's it. You can't now say, now, Mamatzinu, that days 5 through 11 are really the sphere of the Ziva, so too, days 12 through 17 or 18. No, you can't do that. That's my point. Then you're just going to keep going.
Right. What's logically keeping us from keeping?
You can't build a Mamatzinu off of that. It becomes meaningless. Think about what a Mamatzinu is. Yes?
I also think it's weaker than usual drash. That's probably why the Los Gonzaga is upset. I don't think it's as strong as normal drash yod arba that make their items.
I'm not going to argue with you, Huzza, but I don't really feel in a position to make that judgment call. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I just, it's sort of like, a lot of drashes leave me, you know...
But usually those are asmachta, this is going to some opinions. A lot of these drashes are like this. This is not necessarily the weakest. I'm just saying it's, compared to the average drasha that gets us their items, it's probably a little weaker.
I'm not sure, actually. See, I think, so I'm going to give you my general, now I'm going to push back a little bit. Somebody asked me in Seder, did the drushas come first or the dinim come first? And the answer to the question is, it's both. I mean, it happens in both directions. It may depend. But I want to tell you that Chazal's system of reading psukim is actually a lot more rigorous than we sometimes tend to give them credit to. I will go back and cite the example I'm sure I've cited in the past. You know, the drusha, my favorite drushas, where you look at and you scratch your head, two of them actually, La, La, Me'isha. And you really, if you were a cynic against the rabbis, you would be sitting around and making fun of them and say, the word law only occurs, 221 times, I'm making that up, in the Torah, right? And they just decide you can make a Xerah Shava law, right? That sounds absurd. And if it sounds absurd, it's because you didn't actually stop to think that it wasn't just about the words. Because law, there are words, if you made Xerah Shava, which was only a drush, Belial, Belial, from Avodah Zarah to Malam Eina Menatzdaka, so the word Belial only occurs twice in the Torah, right? And it only occurs a handful of times in Tanakh, so that's the kind of Xerah Sheva you think is more appealing. But it actually happens to be, and then even if you want to also, think another odd thing is Veshava Kohen Uvaha Kohen. And you start scratching your head, and the Gemara says that's a Xerah Sheva, right? So you have to realize that at its core, the Xerah Sheva is not just about a word. It's more about an inyan. Two inyanim that are actually similar and a word that connects them. In the case of La La Me'isha, if you actually look at the context, one is in a husband divorcing his wife, and the other one is in the context of freeing an eved. It's not just stam to La La's. It's actually Ochuf Shalonitala. It's two people who are having a relationship bond broken. So the fact that Chazal linked the two actually makes a lot of sense.
It's conceptual parallels.
Correct. The other one, Yivama Yavo Aleha, right? Nemar Kan Aleha V'Nemar Lahalan Aleha, right? By Achos Ishto. You look at that and you say, wait, that seems a little bit crazy. Until you realize that the word Aleha in the context of Arayos is not found, because the word Ba Aleha is a rabbinic usage, and the biblical usage is ba eleha, which may be a euphemism. And then all of a sudden, the only two times the word aleha occurs is litzror lagalos arvasa aleha b'chaya and yivama yav aleha. And you start to say, Chazal, this is not a drasha out of left field. So all I would say is that when you actually, I'll come back here and I would just say the following. The Torah's psukim below esni dasa beg the question, or beg the answer of, what is called below esni dasa? Because given that it's a cycle, and this is what I was trying to point out, given that it's a cycle and it's got to end at a certain point, there somehow has to be a way of determining what is that end point. Otherwise, you become a nida for 7 days, and then the rest of your life, everything is dam ziva, which minat Torah would be a tremendous kula. Well, maybe. Not actually. Depends, kind of. whatever. But the point is, it would be ridiculous, actually, is what it would be. So Rabbi Akiva and his system of drashos, of finding things on the Kotzim, feels that there must be a way, the Torah must somehow be hinting to us what is called below Esnir Asa, because that's really what the Bryce is about. Rabbi Lassam Nazai is just a cop-out. Allah Moshe Mishina, 11 days, and I'm not going to figure it out. Rabbi Akiva says, no, we're going to figure it out. And I think that this, I'm not going to do this, and I haven't done it, but I think that you have to, you could dwell quite a bit of time on what Rabbi Akiva is doing with the Psukim here. I'm not so sure that this is the weakest of drushes. Okay. So that's a larger philosophical question, but within the question of, you know, hermeneutics, I'm not sure that Rabbi Akiva's drasha here is necessarily one of the less, I don't want to call it shot-like drashas, but one of the more reaching drashas. I'm not so sure. Mati? Again, you're getting into a question. You're assuming, and I'm not so sure about that, a larger, you know, meta machlokas here as opposed to a machlokas in the details. I'm not convinced that that is. You know, I think you can say Rabbi Akiva, philosophically speaking, was inclined to see things. You have to ask the following question, actually. This is really a crucial nakuda, which people are probably not going to want to hear. What does it mean that when they say something is halach l'moshe m'sinai? What? No. More than that. In other words, well, you're correct, Judah, but the Rambam would take it to mean much more than that. As for the Rambam, and the word suggested, it doesn't just mean it's a Mesorah, it means it's Mishinah. The crucial point is that if it's Mishinah, you can't argue on it. If it's a Drusha that comes up later, you can argue, another Beis Din can argue on it. Because right? It's not part of the Kabbalah or the Mesorah in the classic sense. It's things that they learned, derived anew. And there we say that Yiftach Bedor or Kishmul Bedor, every Beis Din can overturn the Din of Doraisa of a previous generation. That's the Rambam Sheet, the Nechos Mamrim and Perish HaMishnayis. But you have to ask the question, how could Rabbi Akiva come along, if Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah claims that it's Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva were both Talmidim of, presumably, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, presumably, they must have heard, in order for them to know it was Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, at first glance, and the very sort of firm way of looking at it is, one of the Rabbeim must have told them. So is it that Rabbi Akiva wasn't in Shir that day, when Rabbi Lesser said to Rabbi Lesser and Azariah, it's Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai? He missed Shir that day and he didn't know? Is that what you envision? Or is this din a known din? And Rav Lazar ben Azariah says, there is no makor. It must be halach l'moshe m'sinai. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, I don't think it has to be halach l'moshe m'sinai. It can be derived. But I don't know which is the case. But presumably it has to be one of those two choices. But if that is the case, if the latter is the case, then you have to say halach l'moshe m'sinai isn't always an assertion of fact, but rather an assumption. If someone has an ultimate explanation, again, other than the Rabbi Akiva, you know, missing that part in Shir, you know, missing Shir that day, if you have an alternate explanation, I'm open to it. I'm not sure what to do with it.
Isn't that against the Rambam?
No, so the question would be as follows. It doesn't mean, now it could be there are situations where everybody agrees something is halach l'moshe m'sinai. Now, that could be either because nobody knew a mako, or because that one, everybody heard from their Rebbe. Everybody heard from the Rebbe it was halach l'moshe m'sinai. And so those you could say, mamish go to Sinai. I'll just point out one, again, I don't have an answer to the question, but I think the question is sort of obvious in a case like this. I'll just point out one other point you should be aware about halach l'moshe m'sinai. The Mishnah, and there are only three times in the Mishnah where halach l'moshe m'sinai is invoked. One is in Peah, and I think the end of, I think it's the first or second parah. One, which is about a halacha, which could definitely be a din d'oraisa. One is the last mission of Adios, which is about what Eliyahu Hanavi will come and do in the future. I'm not quite sure what to handle that. And then number three, which is the one that's telling here, is the mission in Yodayim, whether it's a machlokas, whether or not, what should they do in the lands next to Eretz Yisrael, what do they do in the Shemitah year from Isis? In Eretz, do they give Maser Sheni or Maser Ani? Now in Eretz Yisrael, obviously, you don't separate any Maisers in the Shemitah year. But in the Aratzos HaSemuchos, where there's no Shemitah Midaraisa, because it's not part of Eretz Yisrael, where it's all Midarabanan, but it also means Trumas and Maisers are all Midarabanan. So there, what do you separate in the seventh year? Maser Sheni, which is what you do, it's this week's Parsha. Maser Sheni is separated first, second, fourth, and fifth years. Maser Ani is separated third and sixth years, except for according to Targum Yonah, son Ben Uziel, who says in the third and sixth years you separate Maser Rishon, Maser Sheni, and Maser Ani. They'll look there. But normative rabbinic law, so Maser Ani is third and sixth years, Maser Sheni, 1, 2, 4, 5. What do you do in the Shemitah year? In Eretz Yisrael, no problem. Nothing, because it's no Maser, no Trumas and Maser, it's all Hefker. What do you do in Amun Amalav? So there's a discussion in the base of Medrash. They concluded Maser Ani. They gave a whole pilpa, whatever it was. They came to Rabbi Eliezer, who wasn't in the base Medrash. I don't know, maybe he had been, that was after he was excommunicated. And he said, we don't need any of your things. I'm a kubal halacha l'moshe misinai, that Amun Amalav ma'aser Maser Ani b'shvias. What's funny about this? How could there be halacha l'moshe misinai about it in the Rabbanon? Misinai, there's either Eretz Yisrael or it's not Eretz Yisrael. So on the pastresses, it's within the Rabbanah. I believe Rav Lichtenstein has an essay somewhere about this, actually, where he tries to explain something. I don't remember how he tries to explain it. But on the surface, certainly, it seems like it's in the Rabbanah, which means Halach Lama Shem Sinai is an expression. It means it's Kabbalah. It's a Masorah. It doesn't mean actually Mamish goes to Sinai. Yeah, Judah? So, and again, you have to stand on your head to try to sort of explain, and maybe Rilchenstein justifies it well, where this would be at in Daraisa, but the pastor says that one happens to be not Mamish Misinai. Okay. So, in general, it's kind of hard to know what to do with this, right? Why did Rabbi Akiva decide to come along and give a fancy drasha? But I think it's actually a very well-thought-out drasha on some level. It could use some more work. I'll grant you, but I think it, you know, we should exercise due caution. And I think it's, and I said, as I started my diatribe by stating, we sometimes read Gemaras, and I'm not saying this just because of reverence for Chazal, which we should certainly have plenty of reverence, but on top of which, it's not just Chazal, you know, Chazal are right because they're final. But most of the time, they're probably right because they're right also. So, you know, definitionally, they're right because they're final, but I think that probably we can figure out almost all the time they're right also. So, Jeremy?
Just a couple of questions along the way.
Yeah.
So, one thing Rabbi just mentioned recently was that during the Shemitah year, they would bring either one of the two matzros.
You have to, what's that, yeah?
Are they bringing any matzros?
Because it wasn't Hefker, they left. In Chutzlar, it's in the Arashas HaSmuchos, there was no din of Shemitah, the Paris weren't Hefker. Amon Amelov.
We don't have Shemitah either, but we don't bring.
Because we don't separate Trumas and Maasros at all.
Right.
But the Arotzus HaSmuchos, there was a Takana, the Rabbanon, to separate Trumas and Maasros. That's my whole point, that the Trumas and Maasros and Amon Amor are only the Rabbanon. In the first place, in any year of the 7-year Shemitah cycle. But once the Rabbanon created Trumas and Maasros, what do you do in the Shemitah year? Because you don't have the Daraisa in Eretz Yisrael to pattern upon, you know, call the Tikkun Rabbanon and the Daraisa Tikkun.
Couldn't they just, when they established the law separating Trumas and Maasros and Arotzus HaSmuchos, which is a major rabbanon, couldn't they just have established it also that you don't do that during Shemitah?
They could have, but the Gemara, ultimately the Maskan is the reason why they were Masake and Maser Ani. In Eretz HaSmuchos is that the poor people would have something, in Eretz Yisrael would have something to rely upon in the Shemitah year.
Okay, they'd go over, they would cross over the Jordan.
Somebody would import it. You don't need to cross over. You know that some entrepreneur, the entrepreneurial spirit was not invented, you know, with the capitalist revolution in which, you know, 18th and 19th century, whatever. It's been around. You know, free market forces have operated forever. You read enough Gemaras and you know that.
Yeah, also yeah. Going back to what we discussed earlier. So, the Gemara said that that it sounds like we're being Marbe, this era based off of, sorry, we're being Marbe, the period of Ziba, based off the period of when's...
Svira would have been for the Ziba Doraisa. The Ziba,
yeah.
That's Mefurash Bekra. Right, the Ziba that's Mefurash Bekra,
right.
In the end is 1, 2, 3, 4. So Sphere for that could extend 5 to 11. Based upon the Mematzinu, we extend Ziva even to days 5 through 11.
So it sounds like we're defining based off the period of Ziva based off when Sphere is. For the period of
we're defining, no, we're defining Ziva based upon what Sphere is, yes.
Right. So how can... It sounds tricky if you hold that... The period of if we're saying the period of Ziva is always defined by when the period of Sphira is, so if you hold like the Rambam who says that you can have Sphira during other periods, right, beyond when, or even not the Rambam.
Don't throw the Rambam at me.
Forget the Rambam. According to everyone, sometimes we have a case where we're going to have a period of Sphira.
That's what Yitzi asked, and you, but the problem is that, then again, the reductio ad absurdum is you only need it once in your life. So obviously, we only count the sphira of the ziva that's mefureshes bikra. That I anticipated that. Okay, there was a question down here, Alex.
Yeah. From after the it seems obvious that the conceptual link is in fact the impetus for that Zereshama, but Chazal knew how to say there's a conceptual link here. Why did they choose to anchor in Zereshama if they could have just said Mamatzin?
Because what's that? So you're asking me a separate question. Gzeirah Shavah is better than Abame Matzinu, for starters, because there's no pircha on it. But I'm just saying that when you look at the words la, you say what kind of because one would say that in a Abame Matzinu case, where you also have common words, you may now link it. But it's not like they picked any two random la's in the Torah and decided to make them the same. I'm sure you could write good Purim Torah. You have to just find, take a concordance, look where la occurs, and I'm sure you can come up with some crazy things. But the point is, Chazal were not linking two unrelated items. They were linking two related items. It would have been nice if you got a better word out of it. But even so, it's not just law, by the way. It's minasan biyada and chushalo nitan law. Right? The yad word yad is missing, but they rely on b'chasav law minasan biyada. They don't have to. It's understood that when they're making this Gzeirah Shavah, there's a linguistic commonality structurally, and even more so, an overriding conceptual connection. They don't have to spell it out, but by making it Gzeirah Shavah as opposed to Mamma Matzinu, it's unpirchable.
Okay, but they chose the most incidental parallel of all.
It's the only word that they had in there, and it's not, even so, it's still not totally unrelated structurally in the sentence. Okay. Spend a little more time thinking about it. You'll agree or disagree with me, but I will defend Chazal on this. Yossi.
Someone might have asked this, I apologize, but the lowest midasa is used to teach us some of the midasa.
It depends which gear sub, but the problem is that it's, yeah. So let's assume, for the moment, let's assume that it's not teaching us samach nidasa, al nidasa is teaching us samach nidasa. I'll just make it simpler for now. It doesn't solve all the problems, but makes life a little simpler. Okay. Continue. Yehuda, the Ainli. Yime. In other words, Vishachi Yazov Zov Dama Yam Rabin below S Nidasa Ochisa Zova Nidasa Ko Yime Zov Tumasa Kimei Nidasa Tiat Meyahi. They're going to darshan the rest of the pasuk. So if she already has Yamim Rabim, which is Yamim Rabim is 3 days, now how do you know if she only bled 2 days? It says Ko Yime Yime, and then how do you know Minayin? Kol Yimei. Now, there's only one problem that you realize immediately arises from this, which the Gemara will have to deal with. Once you have a riboy of 2 days and 1 day, then what's the problem you're going to have? You should need Shiminikim for even Riyasio Mechad and Riyashneyam. And note, by Zav at least, there is a requirement that by Zav the din is, a man who has a, whatever Zav is, a ziva emission, if it doesn't have to be for 2 days, it either has to be twice in 1 day or once on two consecutive days. A man who becomes a zav with 2 re'iyos has to wait shiva nikiyim. 1 re'iyah, nothing. It's like just like Tomas Keri. Right? The Mishnayis explain the difference between what Keri, we know what it is. Zov seems to be some type of pus or something like that, but it's not Keri. The Mishnayis and the Gemara gives a whole, what's the difference, how you tell the difference. But Zav of 1 day, only 1 re'iyah, I should say, only it goes like a Balkari, goes to the mikveh, he doesn't need Sfira Seom Echad. Zav of 2 days is Tameh 7 days, but doesn't have to bring a Zav of 2 re'iyos, doesn't have to bring a carbon, but he needs Shivanikim. Zav of 3 re'iyos has to bring a carbon on top of the Shivanikim. So 2 at least requires Shivanikim. 1 doesn't there. So we're going to have to address that issue. Before we get there, now the Gemara says further. Tameh, the last 2 words in the Pasuk, again, it's Kol Yimei Zov Tumasa Kimei Nidasa Tiyah Tumeya Hi. The question is, what do you need to say Tumeya Hi for? You just said, Kol Yimei Zov Tumasa Kimei Nidasa Tiyah. That's enough. What do you mean Tumeya Hi? We know, Bimei Nidasa, she's Tumeya. Right. The next word Tumeya is that just like a Nida is Mitame Bola, so to a Zav is Mitame Bola. And finally, right. So, it's a very funny expression. Mashu Boel. What? I wasn't bothered by the choice of language. It's very blunt, like she's an object.
Yeah.
Right. Right. I don't know why. I don't know why you could have said osai. If I had said osai, I wouldn't be asking the question, but that wasn't what sort of caused my reaction. But okay, fine.
But the emphasis could be, like, the active versus the passive, and you have an active eel here, and in one... But it should have said me.
Yes, it should have said me. I'd be happier if the Shashina Nesach had said me. But okay, fine. So mashu ba'al. So as there's no din, even though Anida is metame ba'ala, Azov is not metame the nevela shela.
So is the saying that this he here teaches us a din of Zov?
Tmeya he, for that a woman can convey tuma through someone who has bia with her when she has tuma yotze la migufo, but a man does not.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead. Right, now the Zav is more susceptible to Tumah. He can become a Zav without multiple days, just two Rias in one day, or three Rias in one day, or spread over 2 days, and so on. A Zavah cannot become a Zavah unless, you know, if Zavah bleeds twice in one day, she's not a Zavah Gedola. She bleeds three times in one day, she's not a Zavah Gedola. She needs 3 days. So we're more machmir by Tumas Azov, so shouldn't we be metame mashubal tamalomar? It's trying to explain why do we need the pasuk to tell you that. Is why would you have thought a boel would be metame mashubal, azov metame mashubal? The answer is because it would have been a kavachomer from Nida. The answer is it would have been a good kavachomer, therefore you need a miut to be memayedit. Okay. I mean, there could have been, by the way, another svara, a simple svara. What's a simple svara difference as to why azov is not metame mashubal? There's no Isser Bia by Azov. I don't know if it, medically it might be inadvisable, but I would imagine that Ziva is the product of some STD. So it would be probably highly inadvisable to have...
Apparently, according to Schlesinger Institute, Zav and Zava is gonorrhea.
I know that translation. It could be.
Okay.
I said, and the emission is probably pus.
Yeah.
So I alluded to that earlier. I know, you know. So, okay, Donnie, do you have a hand up or no? No, so you had. Yes,
see. Is Isser actually tied to the issue of tumah, or is it?
Not necessarily, but it happens to be that it happens to be that Nida and Zava and Yoledes are metameis bo'alam, and Zav and there's an Isser Bia. Zav, there's no Isser Bia mentioned by the Torah, and it happens not to be, and as it would have been not so illogical to connect the two, right? To see that the Tumah of Bia is a product of the Isser. Okay.
At least by Nida, we separate them quite strongly, don't we?
Okay. Fine. All right, so we'll stop here. We will finish this up tomorrow and continue on in Mara Matamos. As you go on in the Rishonim, I want you to think carefully about what is the nature of the Isser of Gargaron and as it relates to the concept of Svirah.